Are you blind when you're born?
Can you see in the dark?
Can you look at a king? Would you sit on his throne? Can you say of your bite that it's worse than your bark? Are you cock of the walk?
When you're walking alone,
because jellicles are and jellicles do.
When you fall on your head, do you lag on your feet?
Are you tense when you sense there's a storm in the air?
Can you find your way right when you're lost in the street?
Do you know how to go to the heaviside layer?
Whittington's friend,
the Pied Piper's assistant. Have you been an alumnus of heaven and hell? Are you mean like a minx?
Are you lean like a lynx? Are you keen to be thief when you're smelling a rat?
Were you there when the pharaohs commissioned the sphinx?
If you were and you are, you're a jellicle cat.
There's a man over there with a look of surprise, as much as to say, well now, how about that? Do I actually see with my own very eyes a man who's not heard of a Jellicle Cat? What's a Jellicle Cat? What's a Jellicle Cat? What's a Jellicle Cat?
Hello. Jellicle cats come out tonight. Jellicle cats come one, come all. The Jellicle moon is shining bright. Jellicles come to the Jellicle ball. Jellicle cats come out tonight. Jellicles come to the Jellicle ball.
Jellicle cats meet once a year at the Jellicle ball, where we all rejoice, and the Jellicle leader will soon appear and make what is known as the Jellicle choice. When old Deuteronomy, just before dawn, through a silence you feel you could cut with a knife, announces the cat who can now be reborn and come back to a different Jellicle life. For waiting up there is the Heaviside Lair, full of wonders one Jellicle only will see. And Jellicles ask, because Jellicles dare, who will it be?
Who will it be?
Gumby cat in mind, her name is Jenny Any Dots. Her coat is of the tabby kind, with tiger stripes and leopard spots. All day she sits beneath the stair, or on the steps, or on the mat. She sits and sits and sits and sits, and that's what makes a Gumby cat. That's what makes a Gumby cat.
But when the day's hustle and bustle is done, then the Gumby cat's work is but hardly begun. When all the family's in bed and asleep, she tucks up her skirts to the basement to creep. She's keeping concerned with the ways of the mice.
Their behavior's not good and their manners not nice.
So when she has got them lined up on the matting, she teaches them
music, crocheting and catting.
I have a Gumby cat in mind. Her name is Jenny Any Dots. The curtain cord she likes to wind and tie it into sailor knots. She sits upon the windowsill or anything that's smooth and flat. She sits and sits and sits and sits, and that's what makes a Gumby cat. That's what makes a Gumby cat.
But when the day's hustle and bustle is done, then the Gumby cat work is but hardly begun. She thinks that the cockroaches
just need employment
to prevent them from
idle and wanton destroyment.
For she's born from the lust of disorderly life, a true uncle is a plain helpful boy scout.
With her purpose in life and her good deeds to do,
and she's even created a Beatles tattoo.
Thank you.
is.
If you offer me a pheasant, I'd rather have grouse. If you put me in a house, I would much prefer a flat. If you put me in a flat, then I'd rather have a house. If you set me on a mouse, then I only want a rat. If you set me on a rat, then I'd rather choose a mouse. And there isn't any call for me to shout it,
for he will do.
No doing anything about, oh, I held it.
The rum-tum tugger is a terrible bore.
Oh, when you let me in, then I wanna go out. I'm always on the wrong side of every door. And as soon as I get home, then I like to get about. I like to lie in a bureau drawer. But I make such a fuss if I can't get out.
The rum-tum tugger is a curious cat.
And there isn't any use for you to doubt it,
for he will do.
No doing anything about, ooh, ah, how'd it?
Rum-tum tugger is a curious beast.
My disobliging ways are a matter of habit. Now if you offer me fish, then I always want to feast. And if there isn't any fish, then I want to eat a rabbit. If you offer me cream, then I sniff and sneer. I don't really like what I find for myself. No. So you catch me in a ride up to my ears and you put it away on a lot of shell. Enjoy like a horrible mother. Need for me to spout it.
For he will do, as he will do.
And there's no doing anything about.
About it. I'm found not at foxes, but blimps. I am frequently seen at the gay stage and screen, which is famous for winkles and shrimps. In the season of venison, I give my benison to the hot hunter succulent bones. And just before noon's not a moment too soon to drop in for a drink at the Drones. When I'm seen in a hurry, there's probably curry at the Siamese or at the glutton. If I look full of gloom, then I've lunched at the tomb on cabbage, rice pudding, and a mutton.
Keep the poet St. James and that's mutton's own name.
So much in this way passes muster first day at one club or another he's found. It can be no surprise that under our eyes he has grown unmistakably round. He's a 25 pounder,
or I am a bounder,
and he's putting on weight every day.
But I'm so well preserved because I've observed all my life a routine, and I'd say I am still in my prime. I shall last have my time.
That's the word from this notice.
Which was commonly said to be mean. was which catch?
It was Mungo Jerry.
And Rumpelstiltskin.
Deuteronomy?
I believe it is Old Deuteronomy.
A cat who has lived many lives in succession. He was famous in proverb and famous in rhyme a long while before Queen Victoria's accession.
Old Deuteronomy is buried 9 wives and more. I am tempted to say 99 and his numerous progeny prospers and thrives, and the village is proud of him in his decline.
At the sight of that placid and bland physiognomy, when he sits in the sun on the vicarage wall, the oldest inhabitant croaks, "Well, of all things, can it be really? Yes, no, Ohio, my eye. I believe it is Old Deuteronomy.
And now that the Jellicle leader is here, Jellicle cats can all
rejoice! Of the awful battle of the beets and the polycles, together with some account of the participation of the pugs and the pugs, and the intervention of the great Rumpus Cat. The peaks and the pollicles, everyone knows, are proud and implacable, passionate foes. It is always the same wherever one goes. And the pugs and the pums, although most people say that they do not like fighting, yet once in a way, they now and again join into the fray. And they
bark, bark,
until you can hear them all over the park. Now, on the occasion of which I shall speak, almost nothing had happened for nearly a week. And that's a long time for a paw or a peek. The big police dog was away from his beat. I don't know the reason, but most people think he slipped into the Wellington Arms for a drink. And no one at all was about on the street when a peek and a polycle happened to meet. They did not advance or exactly retreat, but they glared at each other and scraped their hind feet and started to
bark, bark, bark,
bark, bark,
bark,
bark,
until you could hear them all over the park. And they
bark,
bark, bark,
bark,
bark,
bark,
until you could hear them all over the park. Now the peak, although people may say what they please, is no British dog, but a heathen Chinese. And so all the peaks, when they heard the uproar, some came to the window, some came to the door. There were surely a dozen, more likely a score. And together they started to grumble and wheeze in their huffery, snuffery, heathen Chinese. But a terrible din is what follicles like, for your follicle dog is a door Yorkshire tyke. And to those that are frisky and frolical, let my meaning be perfectly plain. And his broad Scottish cousins are snappers and biters, and every dorm jack of them know to provide her. And so they step out with their pipers in order, playing when the blue bonnets come over the border. And the palms held no longer aloof, but some from the balcony, some from the roof, joined into the din with a
bark, bark, bark,
bark, until you could hear them all over the park. Until you could hear them all over the park. These bold heroes together assembled. The traffic all stopped, and the underground trembled. And some of the neighbors were so much afraid that they started to ring up the fire brigade. When suddenly up from a small basement flat, why, who should stalk out but
the great
His eyes were like fireballs, fearfully blazing. He gave a great yawn, and his jaws were amazing. And when he looked out through the bars of the area, you never saw anything fiercer or hairier. And what with the glare of his eyes and his yawning, the peaks and the pollicles quickly took warning. He looked to the sky and he gave a great leap, and they, every last one of them, scattered like sheep. And when the police dog returned to his beat, there wasn't a single one left on the street.
Undertakers come to dock.
McCarthy!
Jellicle cats come out tonight. Jellicle cats come one, come all.
The Jellicle moon is shining bright. Jellicles come to the Jellicle ball.
Jellicle cats are black and white. Jellicle cats are rather small. Jellicle cats are merry
and bright,
and pleasant to hear when we caterwaul.
Jellicle cats have cheerful faces.
Jellicle cats have bright black eyes.
We like to practice our airs and graces,
and wait for the Jellicle moons to rise.
Jellicle cats develop slowly.
Jellicle cats are not too big.
Jellicle cats are roly-poly.
We know how to dance a gavotte and a jig.
Until the Jellicle moon appears,
we make our toilet and take our repose.
Jellicles wash behind their ears.
Jellicles dry between their toes.
Jellicle cats are white and black.
Jellicle cats are of moderate size.
Jellicles jump like a jumping jack.
Jellicle cats have moonlit eyes.
Quiet enough in the morning hours, quiet enough in the afternoon.
Reserving our turfs of glory and powers,
bronzed by the light of the Jellicle moon.
Jellicle cats are black
and white.
Jellicle cats, as we said, are small.
If it happens to be a stormy night,
we will practice a caper or two in the hall.
If it happens the sun is shining bright,
you would say we had nothing to do at all.
We are resting and saving ourselves to be right for the Jellicle moon and the Jellicle ball.
Jellicle cats come out tonight.
Jellicle cats come one.
Come to the Jellicle Ball.
Thank you. In the lamplight, the withered leaves collect at my feet, and the wind begins to mourn. Every street lamp seems to beat the fatalistic warning. Someone mutters, and the street lamp flutters, and soon it will be morning.
Revived in the meaning is not the experience of one life only, but of many generations. Not forgetting something that is probably quite ineffable.
But that's such a fuss to pronounce that we usually call him just Gus. His coat's very shabby, he's thin as a rake, and he suffers from palsy that makes his paw shake. Yet he was in his youth quite the smartest of cats, but no longer terror to mice or to rats, for he isn't a cat that he was in his prime, though his name was quite famous, he says, in his time. And whenever he joins his friends at the club, which takes place at the back of the neighbouring pub, he loves to regale them if someone else pays with anecdotes drawn from his palmiest days. For he once was a star of the highest degree. He has acted with Irving, he has acted with Tree, and he likes to relate his success on the whole, where the gallery once gave his grandest creation, as he loves to tell, was fire broken, the field of the fair.
I have played it my time, every possible part. And I used to know 70 speeches by heart. I'd extemporize, back chat. I knew how to gag, and I knew how to let the cat out of the bag. I knew how to act with my back and my tail. With an hour of rehearsal, I never could fail. I'd a voice that would soften the hardest of hearts. Whether I took the lead or in character parts, I have sat by the bedside of poor little Nell. When the curfew was rung, then I swung on the bell. In the pantomime season, I never felt that. And I once understudied Dick Whittington's cat. But my grandest creation, as history will tell, was fire for fiddle, the field of the bell.
Then if someone will give him a toothful of tin, he will tell how he once played a part in East Lynn. At a Shakespeare performance, he once walked on path, when some actor suggested the need for a cat.
And I'd say that these kittens, they do not get trained as we did in the days when Victoria reigned. They never get drilled in a regular troop, and they think they are smart just to jump through a hoop.
And he says, as he scratches himself with his claws,
well, the theatre is certainly not what it was. These modern productions are all very well, but there's nothing to equal from what I hear tell. That moment of mystery, when I made history, as fire for fiddle, the field of the fair. These modern productions are all very well, but there's nothing to equal from what I hear tell. That moment of mystery when I
the cat of the railway train. guards and all the porters and the station master's daughters would be searching high and low, saying, Skimble, where is Skimble? For unless he's very nimble, then the night mail just can't go. At 11:42, with the signal overdue, and the passengers all frantic to a man, that's when I would appear, and I'd saunter to the rear. I'd been busy in the luggage van. They'd be off at last for the northern part of the northern head. Could say that by and large it was me who was in charge of the sleeping car express. From the driver and the guards to the bagman playing cards, I'd supervise them all, more or less. Pleasant when they found their little den with the name written up on the door, and the berth was very neat with a newly folded sheet and not a speck of dust on the floor. There was every sort of light, you could make it dark or bright, and a button you could turn to make a breeze, and a funny little basin you're supposed to wash your face in, and a crank to shut the window should you sneeze. Then the guard went in politely and would ask you very brightly, do you like your morning tea?
We got
strong! But I was just behind him and was ready to remind him, for Skimble won't let anything go wrong. Watches of the night, I was always fresh and bright. Every now and then I'd have a cup of tea, with perhaps a drop of scotch when I was keeping on the watch, only stopping here and there to catch a flea. They were fast asleep at crew, and so they never knew that I was walking up and down the station. They were sleeping all the while, I was busy at Carlisle, where I met the station master with elation. They might see me at Dumfries if I summoned the police, if there was anything they ought to know about.
When they got to Galloway,
we'll be right back. Griddlebone. are nothing more than agents for the cat, who all the time just controls the operations. The Napoleon of crime!
McCavity's not there!
To ask magical Mr. Mistopheles, the original conjuring cat. There can be no doubt about that. Please, listen to me. And don't scoff. All his inventions are off his own bat. There's no such cat in the metropolis. He holds all the patent monopolies for performing surprising illusions and creating eccentric confusion. The greatest magicians have something to learn from Mr. Mistopheles' conjuring turn. And we all say, oh, well, I never was there ever a cat so clever as a magical Mr. Mistopheles. He's quiet, he's small, he is black. From his ears to the tip of his tail, he can creep through the tiniest crack. He can walk on the narrowest rail. He can pick any card from the pack. He's equally cunning with dice. He's always deceiving you into believing that he's only hunting for mice. Ow! He can plan a trip with a cork or a spoon and a bedside fish paste. If you look for a knife or a fork and you think that it's merely misplaced, you've seen it one moment, but then it is gone. But you'll find it next week laying out on the lawn. And we all say, oh, well, I never was there ever a cat so clever as a magic Mistopheles. Oh, well, I never was ever a cat so clever as magical Mr. Mistopheles. Oh, well, I never was ever a cat so clever as magical Mr. His manner is vague and aloof, and you would think there was nobody shyer, but his voice can be heard on the roof while he was curled up by the fire, and he's sometimes been heard by the fire while he was about on the roof. At least we all heard that somebody purred, which is incontestable proof. And I'm a single of magical powers. I've known the family to call him in from the garden for hours while he was asleep in the hall. And not long ago, this phenomenal cat produced 7 kittens right out of a hat. And we all say, oh, well, I never was there.
clever as magical Mr. Mistopheles.
Oh, well, I never was there.
Now, old Deuteronomy, just before dawn, through a silence you feel you could cut with a knife, announces the cat who can now be reborn and come back to a different angelical life.
Thank you. heard of several kinds of cat, and my opinion now is that you should need no interpreter to understand our character. You've learned enough to take the view the cats are very much like you. You've seen us both at work and games, and learnt about our proper names, our habits and our habitat. But how would you address a cat? So first your memory I'll jog, and say a cat is not a dog. Some say one rule is true, don't speak till you are spoken to. Myself, I do not hold with that. I say you should address a cat, but always keep in mind that he resents familiarity. You bow, and taking off your hat, address him this form. Oh, cat, before a cat will condescend to treat you as a trusted friend, some little token of esteem is needed, like a dish of cream. And you might now and then supply some caviar or Strasbourg pie, some parted grouse or salmon paste. He's sure to have his personal taste, and so in time you'll reach your aim and call him by